Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Mayor Joseph Petty of Worcester decried the loss of beds and services from St. Vincent Hospital today as a nurses' strike started in March wears on. Petty asserted the nearly 700 nurses are being, quote, prevented, unquote, from returning to work by the actions of the hospital. Now, the hospital and the nurses reached a contract agreement in mid-August, but when the hospital notified the striking nurses they would not all be guaranteed their old jobs, the process broke down again and has since been at a standstill. Today, Petty called the move by the hospital unprecedented. Now, we talked to both the hospital and a representative for the nurses just as things broke down in August. We have both parties back today. Today, we begin with Carolyn Jackson, the CEO of St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester. Carolyn, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So, Carolyn, a little more from the mayor of Worcester today. He accused St. Vincent of violating practices that are standard in, quote, any and all strikes, end quote. And he was, of course, referring to Tenet Healthcare's proposed return to work agreement, which does not guarantee that nurses returning from the strike can go back to their old positions. How do you respond to the mayor's accusations?
So in your lead-in, you mentioned that the mayor calls the strike unprecedented, and I would agree with that statement, and I would also agree that our return-to-work agreement is not standard. The strike is unprecedented. It was based
so
on
So I'm going to stop you there because I was saying that the mayor referred to the hospital's move as unprecedented, not the nurse's strike.
Ah, okay. I am sorry.
Okay.
So the strike is my words, the strike is unprecedented. The strike is the longest nurses' strike in the state of Massachusetts. It became number one a few weeks ago when it crossed roughly the six-month mark. And because of that, there are a lot of unprecedented things going on. For strikes that last a day, a week, or even a couple of weeks, people would not, hospitals or organizations would not hire permanent replacement workers. However, when a strike drags on as long as this one has, and it will be 7 months old next week, the employer needs to take actions to stabilize its workforce and to make sure that it continues to operate to the best extent that it can.
So you have hired those replacement nurses. They've been in place.
Correct.
There some reason that when nurses who had struck come back, you would not be able to continue to have smooth operations with them in their old jobs and their old shifts?
So if we brought all of the striking nurses back to their old jobs and their old shifts, then we would displace potentially 205 permanent replacement nurses who have been hired since May.
So, but either way, you're going to have some people who could be displaced. Why the priority for the replacement nurses versus the original? And the reason I'll ask is I know you're aware that the nurses are claiming that this is specifically retaliation for striking.
This is absolutely not retaliation. We were very public and open about our decision to hire permanent replacement nurses. We waited a full 2 months after the strike began to even begin the hiring process. We were open and honest about it. The M&A ridiculed our efforts and said we weren't going to be able to hire nurses, and in fact, we did hire nurses. And we did so because the travel nurses were becoming more difficult to maintain a stable group of because of the fact that COVID began accelerating in other parts of the country.
So I'm going to stay with this for a minute longer. I hear what you're saying. If the argument is retaliation, if we know that in a healthcare staffing shortage, everybody can get jobs somewhere, how does it not look like retaliation if it is standard practice in shorter strikes? And I'll use shorter because that was your assertion about what the difference is here. If standard practice in shorter strikes is to allow people to return to their old jobs, I mean, can you not see how that looks like retaliation for striking?
So I disagree that that looks like retaliation. And in fact, it is not retaliation. In a short strike, you wouldn't need to hire any permanent replacement nurses, nor would you have the time to do so. The duration of the strike has necessitated that we hire nurses to stabilize the workforce. The M&A had told us at the beginning, or stated at the beginning, they wanted to be out through the summer, and we could not continue to function with exclusively travel nurses throughout that time. And so we did what we needed to do to make sure that we were able to provide care for the citizens of Worcester and beyond.
Okay, so MNA, just for listeners, is the Massachusetts Nurses Association. So you may know that State Representative David H.A. LaBeouf, who represents Worcester, called on Tenet Healthcare to replace you with a senior representative from their headquarters in Dallas to get this finalized. Have you heard from Dallas since then? And is that something that might happen?
So we have had senior executives from the company involved in negotiations since July. We had our head of workforce relations as well as the company's chief nursing officer at the bargaining table with the M&A throughout July and August, and they were there when talks broke down. And all executives in the company from Worcester to Dallas will state that we are going to stick by the 205 brave nurses who decided to take positions and care for patients during this pandemic.
So for you, unless the striking nurses accept the return to work as is, there's no movement.
That is not accurate. And in fact, we have reached out to the M&A on multiple occasions, three in particular since August 20th, to talk to them about creative solutions. We've offered three creative solutions for striking nurses whose positions have been replaced. The first one is we will guarantee every striking nurse a position, and we would offer any open position within the facility for them to move into. Secondly, if they don't want to do that, we would offer them super seniority rights. So if the person who took their position does leave within a year after the strike ends, that nurse would go immediately back into their old position regardless of seniority. And then the third option is we have offered an enhanced severance package for nurses who don't want either of those options. And we have told the M&A's attorney on three occasions, on the 20th of August and September 7th via phone, as well as on the 26th of August in writing, that we are willing to discuss any creative solution that does not involve forcibly removing the permanent replacement nurses.
Okay.
And the M&A has been unwilling to discuss any creative solutions.
So very briefly, before we let you go, do you have concerns that in a global pandemic that this is creating strain and safety risks for people who need health care?
We are doing the absolute best we can with our travel nurses, our permanent replacement nurses, and our crossing nurses to provide the absolute best health care we can for all of the people who we can possibly provide it for.
All right. That was Carolyn Jackson, the CEO of St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you.
So we turn now to Marlena Pellegrino. She is a nurse currently on strike at St. Vincent's Hospital and the co-chair of the bargaining unit of the Massachusetts Nurses Association. Marlena, appreciate you joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you have been critical of Tenet Healthcare and St. Vincent's. Obviously, this is a tough, nasty standoff. What are your responses to the creative solutions that we just heard Carolyn Jackson, CEO of St. Vincent's, lay out? Have they laid those solutions out to you, and how has the Massachusetts Nurses Association responded?
First of all, I'll say that I've been at every negotiation session, including the last several, and the solutions that she refers to are not in writing. We have the return to work agreement I have in front of me. We shared it with all of our 700 members. So those creative solutions, so-called, have not been put forth to us in writing.
And would it make a difference if they were? Would you be able to bring them to the group of nurses striking if they were put in writing?
I'll say that the point of a return to work agreement, when you get to the point where we are in negotiations in a long strike like this, that's been very, very challenging. You get to that point, which we reached on August 16th when we met with the hospital. It's a time to start the healing process. It's a time to look back, and we did achieve some staffing language in the last agreement that the hospital put forth, and we were ready on that day to take that step, very inches away from having a tentative agreement, which would put us back at the bedside.
So, Marlena, I'm just going to have you pause for a second. I can tell that phone is distracting you, and I want you to be able to give us your full attention. Do you want to mute that? Or I know it happens. This is live radio. This happens. Let me let you mute that so that you can have your full attention.
Okay. Okay. There we go.
Okay. Sorry about that. That's okay. Oh, there it goes again. All right. So listen, let's try to stay with this. I imagine that things are quite busy today, given what's going on. So you were talking about the return to work. We covered, you know, sort of the pushback on the return to work and our lead into Carolyn Jackson. The place I want to go next with you is the unfair labor practices. So the nurses have filed complaints of unfair labor practices against the hospital. An email comes to WBUR at the end of August, the hospital claimed those filings are a common practice because a finding in your favor would automatically require them to fire the replacement nurses. And they went on to say that, quote, one of your claims was that, the hospital committed an unfair labor practice by not providing the names and addresses of the permanent replacement nurses, end quote. Why would you want the names and addresses of the permanent replacement nurses? It seems like there could be opportunity for harassment or pushback on them.
No, I mean, that would not be the case at all. And I think the reason to have the names and the addresses, or the names at least, is we're trying to figure out exactly where the nurses, many of the nurses have come from the inside. They've been moved from one position to another. So talking about the return to work agreement, what's important to note of the return to work agreement is that the hospital's position is putting very less senior nurses and less experienced nurses into positions.
Just forge right ahead. Stay with me. Just forge ahead.
Yes, into positions that are held by the most senior nurses in the building. So at this point, you would have nurses with 20, 30, 40 years of experience in very highly skilled areas of the hospital replaced by novice nurses or nurses with less experience.
Okay, so let's pick up on that for a second, Marlena, because in a statement to the media on August 19th, Tenet Healthcare estimated that about 85% of returning nurses could get their exact jobs and shifts back. While the remaining 15%, they said, quote, we have committed to working with the Massachusetts Nurses Association to try and resolve these situations, end quote. Why isn't 85% enough? That's a huge percentage. Why is that not enough?
It's not the percentage that is the problem. It's the nurses that would be replaced are the most senior and the most expert in the building. So you have nurses with 35 years of experience, as an example, who have been assisting delivering babies and labor and delivery for 35 years, being replaced by a novice or a new grad nurse. You have nurses who are working in a cardiac catheterization lab for many, many years, which takes critical care skills replaced by, if the hospital were to receive their return to work agreement, with novice nurses. The point of the return to work agreement is not just to return us to our previous positions because we just need those previous positions. It's about patient safety. So why wouldn't you want to have your nurses with the most experience, the most seniority, who have been working for decades in these positions, caring for patients?
So let's stay on the patient.
There's room for everyone in the building. But standard, you bring your nurses back to those. When you want to start a healing process, when you want to end a strike and you don't want to continue the battle with a different agenda, then you agree to a return to work agreement that has your most expert and senior nurses in their positions.
So let's stay with that.
Hospital.
Let's stay with that, Marlena, because I know you're aware. So, for example, Governor Baker tweeted on the 24th, the Commonwealth needs every available healthcare resource fully operational while we are responding to this pandemic. It's time for both sides to get back to the table and reach consensus at St. Vincent Hospital. Concern from the governor to the mayor of Worcester that patient care, patient safety is at risk because of the standoff as well. So how do you square that part of the circle?
We absolutely agree. We have over 600 nurses out on the sidewalk walking the picket line wanting to be back at the bedside. That's our main goal. We know that our patients are waiting for us. We hear from our patients on a weekly and daily basis as they come out of the hospital contacting us. So that's our goal, is to get back at the bedside. We are dealing with a company that is using retaliatory measures in their return to work agreement. I say, put that aside. This is time for a change in leadership. It's a time for people to act as mature adults here and get this done.
So, Marlena, you probably heard. You probably heard Carolyn Jackson say that this was an unprecedented strike in its length, and as a result, since it wasn't a shorter strike, it would be unfair for the replacement nurses to lose their jobs. What is your response? I mean, you're all nurses, so what is your response to that?
My response is the reason it's unprecedented, the strike shouldn't have had to go on strike to begin with. But the reason it's unprecedented is Tenet Healthcare Corporation and Carolyn Jackson has spent over $100 million to prolong the strike over these many months. We never wanted to be out this long. We didn't want to be out to begin with. We had to take a stand to advocate for our patients, for their safety, for their care, for the many years of dedication that we've given that hospital. So they spent the money on the replacement nurses. They spent the money on the security cameras and the details. And a lot of resources were used. Instead of bringing the parties back to the table to get nurses back to the bedside, they've used every measure they could, including millions and millions of dollars, to prolong the strike and keep us out on the street. All right. And it's time for that to stop.
Marlene, I'm going to take it back there. Thank you so much. That was Marlene Pellegrino. She's a nurse currently on strike at St. Vincent Hospital and the co-chair of the bargaining unit of the Massachusetts Nurses Association. Really appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thanks so much for having me.